You know, as we were decorating for Bible school, we found a throne that we thought would be kind of cool to put up here, but the price tag on it was $1,800. So figured that might not work. And I suggested we could get one, a porcelain one at Lowe's for a couple hundred bucks, but they said that might not look good up here. So we settled for a table. But this is supposed to be a castle, right? A castle, and that's the theme over the moat, drawbridge to the king. And so this here is the king's table. And I was thinking about that this week and thinking about the fact that this is a pretty cool table. I might even like to have it in my house one day. And it's a pretty neat thing to sit up here and to be in a big room like this. And I can, on Sunday, Mark mentioned that he felt like he was in the Biltmore house. And I thought, well, that's pretty cool, because that was where some of my inspiration for decorating the stage came from. And I thought, how cool would it be to be invited to the Biltmore house, to be invited to a huge castle in a giant banquet hall, and to sit down at the table of a king, and to be able to sit there and talk to them, to be invited to that. And you know what? That is exactly what we're invited to do on a daily basis with God, the King of the universe. We're invited to come in to His throne room. We're invited to come into His banquet hall and to talk with Him and to pray with Him. And it's an invitation, not an obligation. And it's an amazing thing to me. As I was thinking about that this week, I was thinking about that privilege that it is. And I just want to stop and think about the fact that just for the past 20 or 25 minutes, we came before God with our request, with the things that are going on in our lives, and He wanted to hear that. He cares about us. He wants us to pray to Him. In Philippians 4:6, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." There's Guy Penrod's one of my favorite artists, and he has a song, and the chorus says, "Don't worry about nothing, pray about everything. Don't worry about nothing, pray about everything." And not only do we have the ability and the privilege to pray, but God wants us to pray. And that's an incredible thing to me. Another thing about it is that God hears our prayer. God hears it. He doesn't just say, you know, "You can talk and you can say what you want to, but I'm not going to hear it." I was at a church one time where they had a prayer meeting, and they had all the men come to the front of the building and pray simultaneously. And if you've ever heard 30 people pray at the same time, it can make your head spin a little bit. Well, it did. I thought it was a little strange. But what it clicked, what it did for me, is made me realize that God hears each of those prayers at the same time and cares about every one of them. When we're in this room, only one of us is praying out loud, but hopefully many of us are praying in our hearts, and He hears each and every one of them. And at the same time, there's people all over our entire world that are talking to Him, and it's not like He focuses on one and doesn't hear the rest, but He wants to hear our prayers. Last week at Junior Boys, Stephen Harold talked about the fact that there's some prayers that aren't necessarily answered, and that there's the prayer of unbelievers that can be to God, but they aren't heard because the request and vain things. But there's one prayer that He always hears, and that's the prayer of deliverance. But He talked about something else that I think any time that we have a prayer meeting, we need to be mindful of, and that's the fact that our prayers can be hindered. Our prayers can be hindered. In 1 John 5:15. Oh, that's not it. In Proverbs 15:29, it says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous." In 1 Peter 3:7, it says, "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." Treat your family right. Treat your wife right. Treat your husband right. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." When we come to pray to God, He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to talk to Him. And part of that is being in a right fellowship with Him. It's just like any other relationship. If there's something going on between us, the communication is going to be hindered. So when we want to go, when we want to talk to God, we want to be as ready as we can be, to do everything we can in our lives, to make things right with other people, to make things right with God, because we know that the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we want that. I want that to be my prayer. I want it to avail much, and I want to do these things. And prayer gets me excited. And I'm going to stop there for just a second before I go on to the next thing, and I have a short video I want you to watch. Some of you have probably already seen it before, but watch again and hopefully get a laugh.
Listen to me, listen to me. Like I do this all the time, and if I go out at the house with the door, that has his toys, and then that has all his toys.
Okay. But I have to yell at you guys.
Linda, listen.
You?
Linda, listen.
Okay, what?
Like everything that you do at this house, you can trust everything at Grandma's house.
Okay.
Okay, then what?
Then you're not listening to me.
Then you're not listening to me.
I asked you not to do something.
Linda, but listen to me. Look at, if we do something, if you get that out, that birthday off, you're gonna break it.
Okay, but I'm asking, I'm letting you know that you cannot. No,
Linda, lick it.
You're not listening to me.
Linda,
listen to me now.
Listen
to me now. No, you're not listening. I said no cupcakes, and you try to get cupcakes, and you try to ask Grandma. Didn't you?
Linda, lick it. If we do something right out this. If you get clothes, you can't even get them. You're going to burn your butt.
What's going to burn your butt? You and Kevin don't listen. So I have to give both of you guys pawpaws in your butt.
But Linda, but Grandpa's going to give you pawpaws in your butt.
No, he's not.
Yeah.
I have to. You don't want me to hit Kevin, or you don't want me to spank you?
No.
Why?
Because anybody wants to spank me.
Then I have to spank Kevin.
But he's my little papa.
He's your little pop-ups, but he doesn't listen.
But Linda, honey, look at this. Right now, you can't do anything if we can't get everything out of the wall. And we're going to break everything down.
I'm not breaking anything down. I'm just letting you know,
Linda,
you cannot have cupcakes for dinner.
Linda, like this thing, and I'm going to bring out to you anything. You can't get anything.
I'm done arguing with you.
I'm done arguing with you.
I watched that video not too long ago, considering I think some 70 million people have seen it on YouTube. Some of you in here, I'm sure, have seen it as well. And I thought that had YouTube been around when I was 3 or 4 years old, that quite possibly could have been posted of me. I think my mother was laughing quite hard because she saw a different face up there on the screen. But as I watched that video, I laughed, and it got me to thinking about something that we do a lot of times. We talk to God, and we make our requests known to Him. Mateo's request was, I want a cupcake for dinner. She said, no. He said, look it. Listen, Linda. Well, I need cupcakes. Basically what he said. And sometimes God answers our prayer and God tells us to do something and we progress to say, listen, God, listen. And then we go on to spout a argument that is just a bunch of gibberish. It's our own justification of us wanting to have our own way, even though there's somebody who knows better and has instructed us as to what we're supposed to do. And we take it upon ourselves to think that we know better than God does. And so tonight I want to take a look at a few different people who thought that they knew better than God and see how it worked out for them. And then we can think about our lives and think about some of the things He tells us to do and maybe ponder whether we want to say, look at God, I know better, or if we think maybe we should go and obey Him. The first person that I want to point out is Moses. Moses in Adam. We're going to get there. Where did I write that down? Moses in Exodus chapter 3. You can turn there if you'd like. I'm going to read a few verses. Moses in Exodus chapter 3, this is the passage where the burning bush has taken place. And Moses is before the burning bush. He's taken off his shoes and he knows that this is God that he's talking to. There's no doubt about it at this point. And in verse 10, God says this, "Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses said unto God, look it, God, who am I? I don't know if I can do this. I added look it, if anyone wasn't reading. Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee. Skip over to verse 20. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. God speaks to Moses again in verse 1 of chapter 4. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me. God told him to do something and he thinks he knows better. Nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. We go on. In verse 10 of chapter 4, Moses feels inadequate, and it says, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Sounds a lot like that video. No, we're not arguing about this. This is what we're going to do. And what does Moses say? And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of them who thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, because he still said, no, not me. Look. Maybe we should do something different. And God sends Aaron with him, and we know that. And read the next couple of verses. Well, we won't read those for sake of time, because I always go over. And I'm going to finish on time tonight, y'all. We'll stop if we have to. Moses is one of those characters that does this. God tells him very clearly what he's supposed to do, and he says, no, you know, I think I got a better way. Now, thankfully, Moses did obey, but we see the response that happened even though Moses did obey was that the anger of the Lord was kindled against him. We don't want that. We don't want to kindle the anger of the Lord. And we see what great and mighty things happened in this plan, in this version where Aaron was the mouthpiece. But what would God have done otherwise? I'm sure that had Moses listened the way that he should have, things could have been even greater. I'm going to mention a couple of others that perhaps we won't turn to. But I wanted to mention Achan. Achan was one of those who fought in the Battle of Jericho. He had just seen what God had done. He saw this great, mighty, unexplainable victory over the city of Jericho. And he knew that he wasn't supposed to take any of the things from the city. And yet, what did he do? He took a change of clothes and he took gold and he put it in his tent. He said, look at God, this is good stuff. This is good stuff. I just take a little bit of it. I mean, nobody's going to miss it. It doesn't matter. Well, how it turned out for him was, justly by God's word, him and his entire family were stoned and burned. So, think about that one for a minute. Next time that you want to think that your way is better than God's way. Jonah thought he knew better than God when God told him in Jonah chapter 1 to go to Nineveh. In the very next verse, it says that Jonah got and went to Tarshish, got on a ship the other direction. He said, God told him what to do, and he said, I don't know about that. Maybe I know better. I should do this and that. And no matter what argument, Moses had good arguments. He said, I'm not eloquent of speech. I'm not a great person. I killed an Egyptian. It doesn't matter how good we think our logic is when it's God that's telling us to do this. We're to obey Him, and it's for our own best interest, because Moses ended up in a fish, in the belly of a whale. In 1 Samuel chapter 4, the Israelites thought they knew better when they brought the Ark of the Covenant into battle. They had lost the battle, and instead of going and turning to God and asking Him what they should do and repenting and looking to Him, they said, we're going to go get this. And in our power, by us carrying what we created, we're going to control God. And I don't remember how many of them were killed, but it was several. You can turn there if you want. It's 1 Samuel chapter 4. But they ended up losing the battle and the ark. Similarly, Saul thought he knew better than God in 1 Samuel chapter 15. In 1 Samuel 15:3 is the command. It says, now go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. Verse 9 says, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatted calves and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. And all that was despised and worthless they devoted to destruction. Saul said, look at God, I know what you want me to do, but I like this. In my wisdom and in my power, I think that this is the better thing to do. And in turn, he lost his kingdom. And some would say his mind. Power got to him and things of that sort. One more that I'll mention is Peter. Peter does this many times and in incredible ways. He's in a situation where Peter is dealing directly with Jesus Himself. He's talking to God the Son. And in I want to turn to him, but that's okay. In one of the verses, it actually says that he rebuked Jesus when Jesus said something. In another one, he said, surely not, Lord. He rebuked Him and he said no. Well, needless to say, Jesus was right on both counts. And Peter usually ended up with his foot in his mouth and some other things going wrong. It never works out when we think that we know better than God. Shoot, Adam and Eve thought they knew better than God when they took the fruit. And look where that's gotten us. Here today. So, as we close, I want to ask you guys a question. What are some things that God has told you to do, and you said, look at God. I don't really want to put my money there. No, I think that my money would look better in my savings account than it would look over there. Or it would look better in my truck or in my car. If you're my age, some of you guys may not care about that. Some of you have got some things that tempt you like that. But I'll just list off a few. Finances, sexual boundaries, relationships, family, parenting, masculinity, femininity, morality, hobbies, interest, use of time. God tells us to do this thing with our time. We say, I don't know. I think I would rather, if you're me, sit there and watch Netflix or something like that. I'd rather do that. Or whatever it is, we have something else we would rather do with our time, or rather make our hobbies instead of service, or whatever it is, or how to raise our family, where to raise our family, how to treat our kids, what to raise them by. And instead of looking to our own power and looking to our own logic, that often ends up looking to God and even to others like unintelligible question marks that Mateo was saying, because it makes no sense and relevance to who God is and what He is, we need to look to His Word and look to Him and listen to those things that He's told us and follow Him in those things. And if you don't believe me, just read through the Old Testament. You will think time and time again, would it not just be easier for them to obey? Would it not just be easier for them to follow God? And then they would be blessed and they would have all these things. But no, they wander into sin because they want to go their own way and they want to do their own thing and they think that they are better. It'd be so much better to obey God and His Word and His leading than to suffer the negative consequences. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You for this day that You've given us. I thank You for Your Word. And that in Scripture there are many, many mistakes. Not in what was transmitted here to us today by the written word, but by the people in there. I thank you that there was Moses and there was Paul and there was Peter and there was Saul and all of these people to make me realize that I'm not the only dummy out there, Lord. And I pray that we would learn from these stories and from these mistakes that were made, and that when you tell us to do something, when you answer our prayer or teach us something in your word, that we would say, okay, Lord, I won't take the cupcake. I won't do this thing, or I will do that thing, versus saying, look it, I want to have my way. In your son's name, amen.